Judges chapter 12. Here in Judges 12, we have the end of Jephthah's reign in verses 1 through 7. And then we have the description of three very short reigns of three other judges in verses 8 through 15. Let us hear the word of the Lord from Judges chapter 12. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, "Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire." And Jephthah said unto them, "I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. When I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me?" Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, "Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites." And the Gileadites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, "Let me go over," that the men of Gilead said unto him, "Art thou an Ephraimite?" If he said, "Nay," then said they unto him, "Say now, Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon, in the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews. They rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mount of the Amalekites. This ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Just a few comments on this passage. Again, in verses 1 through 7, we have the end of Jephthah's reign. We find Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, displeased with Jephthah's victory over Ammon. And we learn that apparently before Jephthah crossed the Jordan and took on the Ammonites, he must have gone across the Jordan and asked the Ephraimites to help him. But they weren't willing to help. But once he had gained the victory, now they wish they had been part of that great contest. We see pride leading to contention. And we see also that a brother offended is very hard to win. They offend Jephthah here. They made the same kind of quarrel with Gideon earlier in chapter 8. Gideon had soft words and turned away their wrath. Well, here Jephthah doesn't do that. He doesn't have soft words that turns away the wrath. He's provoked, and he vindicates himself in the following verses, verses 2 through 6. He justifies himself. He says he wasn't seeking glory. He invited them. The enterprise that he took on was very hazardous, but he did it to the glory of God. But then he chastises their insolence. He quarrels with them, and he puts them to death. Apparently what had happened was that the Gileadites, or the Manassites and Ephraimites that were given a certain portion of land east of the Jordan were treated like second-class citizens of those who were within Canaan. And so though they were all brethren, they began to treat their brethren that lived somewhere else differently. They said they were fugitives. They were second-class citizens. But these are the ones that fought against Ammon and defeated Ammon and gave the victory really for all the tribes. All the tribes were benefited by this great victory led by Jephthah. But I think what we have here also is the righteousness of God. These Ephraimites were the biggest tribe in Israel. They were proud. They passed over the Jordan to fight against their brethren. They upbraided them. Now their brethren take them on, get to the Jordan first, and every bridge, they're at every bridge, and they ask the Ephraimites, can you say Shibboleth with an S-H? And they could not do it. Even though they knew that they were supposed to say Shh versus S, they couldn't do it. And they displayed who they were, and they were thus put to death. And so we see a weakness. They had a little weakness. They had a pronunciation problem. And that led to their death. They also had to say they weren't Ephraimites. They were so proud. We're Ephraimites. Now they want to get back. They were hasty in going over to start a fight. Now all of a sudden, they're willing to deny who they are. They're not so proud any longer as long as they can keep their lives. And so we see, even in the wrath of Jephthah, the righteousness of God against these insolent men. Then in verse 7, we have the end of Jephthah's government. He dies. And then we have three short reigns in verses 8 through 15. Ibzan of Bethlehem, Elon of Zebulun, and Abdon of Ephraim. Learn a little bit about their children and who judged their nephews as well in one case. But what you might not notice is that in verse 7, 10, 12, and 15, for Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon, God is pleased by the inspired writer to make notice of where these kings were buried. I think it's a very important thing. It teaches us that the Jews, as well as Christians, we ought to have a proper respect for those created in God's image, and that burial is the appropriate way for those that die. And so it suggests, as it does in 2 Kings 23:17, we read that someone asked the question about some inscription. He sees a title on the sepulcher, and the man asks, what is that title on the sepulcher? And they say, oh, that's the prophet that came up and prophesied to us, burial place. And so we even see in Scripture this inscription of those that are buried in a certain place, their names, who they were, what they stood for, what was their character traits. And so I think it's an important thing that we learn here, just kind of almost secondarily, comes in kind of the back door, but it teaches us something about a burial of those that love the Lord.